I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Previewing some of the upcoming opponents for Utah, Utah State, BYU. How about talking a little Roll Tide, Hans?
It's not a bad idea, man.
Charlie Potter's going to join us here in a moment, covering Alabama football, basketball, for Bama Online 24-7, and 24-7 Sports. Chat with him, get his thoughts on Nick Saban. Never a dull moment. Covering Nick Saban, I'm sure.
Yeah. Always in the running, man. It would be just every year feeling about the same way about a football team.
Charlie Potter joins us now. Again, covers Alabama football and basketball for Bama Online 24-7, part of 24-7 Sports. Charlie, how you doing?
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, guys. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Excited to chat with you. I'm going to, full disclosure here, I do the play-by-play for Utah State, so we are going to, I will be in Tuscaloosa in early September. Just how miserable is that humidity going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be hot. It is currently, it's only 90 right now, but it's pretty thick outside. The good news is, what is that, it's a 6:30 kick, so it should be cooling down by kickoff, but leading up to it, the day will be pretty hot, no doubt.
What's worse, humidity or heat?
The humidity. You know, I was out trying to do some exercise earlier, and it's just a sickness. So as soon as you walk outside, you can feel it. The humidity, you can go to different places. It's hot. Like, you can go up to New York. You can go out on the West Coast. It's hot. But when you add humidity to it, there's a difference.
Well, every year, Nick Saban produces a really, really good team. And so you get used to them either being one or very close to being ranked first in the country. Where does this year's team, though, rank in terms of Alabama teams you've seen in the past in terms of overall talent?
You know, it's up there. It's talented. I think it helps whenever you have the top two players in the country on both sides of the ball with Bryce Young at quarterback and Will Anderson at linebacker. Yeah, I've covered, this is my ninth season covering Alabama for 24-7 Sports, and there's been some special teams. That 2020 team obviously was really special. It was significant, you know, going undefeated against only Power 5 competition in a pandemic-affected year. But you know, this team, if they put it all together, they can be really special. Again, it starts with that leadership. They have a ton of veterans back on the defensive side of the ball. They have playmakers at the skill positions on offense. If this offensive line can come together like it's, you know, seemingly doing so far in camp, if they can get some wide receivers to step up and be more consistent around Bryce Young and give him, one, time to throw the offensive line, and two, you know, some quality targets out there to catch the ball, this offense can continue to roll like it has the last few years we've seen with the evolution of this football program. And then defensively with, you know, eight starters back in their nickel defense, it's just a proven and veteran group. They're not happy with the way the season ended last year. The last 15 or so minutes of the season was not up to their liking, up to their standards. So they've been motivated all off season long to rectify that. And, you know, with a lot of key pieces back and then some key additions to this defense. I think, you know, they're ready to make their claim for one of the best of the Saban era.
I like that you've covered the team for so many years, Charlie, and as you've covered these individual teams and you've watched them through the years, how much of this success is Nick Saban? How much would it be if you brought in a different head coach? How much different would it be? How much of this is Nick, what we're seeing?
Well, I think, you know, everyone knows he's a great recruiter, you know, arguably the best the game's ever seen. But, you know, the development of these players is key as well. And then the messaging, the buy-in. At a place like Alabama where they've seen so much success, it's easy to get complacent. But that's exactly what he preaches, that process that everybody talks about. It's all about, you know, winning your play, focusing on what you need to do, your job. It's not about, you know, winning the game and putting more points on the scoreboard, even though that's obviously the objective. If you do your job, those things will come. And sure, there could be other coaches that see success with the resources they have in Tuscaloosa, but to get the players here and then to get the most out of them, it takes a special person. And, you know, Nick Saban has been that. Everybody knows what Alabama is traditionally as a football school, with some of the great coaches they've had, obviously with Bear Bryant being the top of the list. But to duplicate that and even surpass that the last 15 years, Nick Saban going in his 16th year as head coach here, it's unbelievable. And, you know, to be asked like the first question about where does this team rank in terms of the teams that I've covered, given that they've had six teams that have won national championships since 2009 here, it's a run that I don't think is appreciated as much as it should be, and one that when it is over, you know, there's going to be books, movies, whatever you want to say, just because what they're doing in Tuscaloosa is unprecedented, and it's extremely special.
Utah State picked up a transfer from Alabama, wide receiver Xavier Williams, who's trying to work his way into the rotation. Give me your thoughts on what your opinion was on him when he was at Alabama, and what led to him ultimately deciding to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was a good kid and well liked in the locker room. You know, he had the medical condition that kept him out when he was here, and now he's obviously been cleared of that. But wide receiver is a tough rotation to crack. They recruit that position really well. I mean, just look at the last three NFL drafts. They've had five first-round draft picks at that position alone. And, you know, they return a lot of talent. They have brought in talent from the high school ranks, from the transfer portal ranks. So there's always dudes in that group here. So it's tough. We see attrition there all the time. You had three guys enter the draft this year. You had a couple of guys enter the transfer portal. That's not even including Xavier, who did so well before that. So it's a tough room to get a leg up in, and it's because of the way that they recruit. But, you know, I think I did weekly previews of Alabama's opponents over the course of the summer, counting down from Auburn all the way up to Utah State being the most recent. And I included him as a player to watch because clearly that's going to be one of the storylines going into this season opener, just a familiar face on the opposite sideline. And I think if he's consistent in his performance and keeps his head down, he can be a contributor for the Aggies. So I know a lot of people will probably be excited to see him before the game, after the game, things like that. But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those. Alabama recruits the wide receiver position really well. They also recruit wide receivers out of Florida really well. And he was among that group. But just, you know, with things that happened out of his control, it didn't really work out here.
Give us your take on the Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher back and forth.
You know, I like a good quiet June as much as the next person, or May. Heck, I don't even remember when that happened. That felt like a year ago at this point. So that was a little, I didn't appreciate that as much, to be writing about a public feud between two of the highest profile head coaches in the sport. But, you know, I think with Nick Saban, he regrets having mentioned some schools by name specifically. But I still think he agrees, or he stands by what he said. I think a lot of people agree that with name, image, and likeness, he's all for it from a player standpoint. for them to be able to benefit off of their own name, image, and likeness. It shouldn't be a tool to recruit players to come to schools, but it is that. But he also pointed out how that's not illegal. You know, every team, if they choose to do that, they have the right to do it because there's no consequences for that, really. It just adds even more of a headache to head coaches across the country to have to deal with stuff like that. So, I think Nick Saban regrets the way that it was portrayed initially, but I was also really surprised by the way that Jimbo Fisher came out swinging and saying some of the stuff he did say about Nick Saban and, you know, completely denying the claims, because we've seen now video of his assistant coaches on recruiting trips basically come out and say that they're doing that. So it's, you know, college football right now, college sports in general, it's the Wild Wild West. But, you know, to see a shootout like that between two head coaches, it was pretty crazy. And it only intensifies that October 8th matchup whenever the Aggies travel to Tuscaloosa, as if it wasn't already going to be a big game, given Texas A&M beating Alabama last year. That just adds fuel to this fire. And it's one that I think the Alabama players took note of, the way that the Jimbo Fisher handled this, the things they said about their head coach, and it should be an interesting one come early October, no doubt.
So it's interesting. I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts on the motivation of Nick Saban, because he's been pretty upfront and honest about how he would like to see Congress get involved in some level of legislation to try to, you know, at least put in some level of regulation in terms of what's going on with NIL and some of those other things. And he says, you know, look, we're the haves are really going to separate from the have-nots. Well, there's very few haves that have more than Alabama. So this works in his favor if they want to go that route, and they could spend as much money as anybody else in the country. So why is Nick, when it seems to be going in Alabama's favor, why would Nick want to maybe try to bring and rein this in a little bit?
Yeah, well, the thing about him is he's always been an advocate for what's best for college football. You know, I mean, Alabama's made damn near every college football playoff, but he talks about how that's not great. The system in place is not great for the rest of the country in bowl games, because the significance and the attention placed on bowl games is taken away because everybody's focused on the Final Four and what's going on with the New Year's Eve semifinals and then the national championship game. Alabama's going to be in that more often than not, especially if they expand the field. You're just bettering Alabama's chances of being in the playoffs and contention for a national championship. But he has advocated that you don't want to take away the importance of bowl games, because he knows, coming from some other programs, like making his way up in the coaching ranks, how important that is. And now with this, he's all for players getting money off of their name, image, and likeness to make money because they can. They've always been able to make money, and now that they can do it a little easier just because of, you know, the players that they are and the interest in them, he's all for that. But when it comes to just, you know, people throwing money at high school kids to get them to come to school, he doesn't agree with it. And yes, Alabama can do that. They are among the haves, and he knows that they're in a situation where they can, you know, they are a big dog. They can run with the big dogs, but everybody can't, and that's not good for college football. And so, you know, that's why people mention him as someone that, if there were to be a commissioner of the Power Five, I guess, or college football in general, he would be a great candidate for it. I don't know if that's something he'd want to do, because, you know, every time he's asked about retiring, he always talks about being a part of the team. I truly believe he means that. I think he wouldn't know what to do if he took another opportunity, but he always looks at the big picture. That's why covering these press conferences, you know, when he says something, people listen, and it's important to share those words, because everyone wants to know Nick Saban's opinion on it, because usually it's measured. He's thought about it. He's not just throwing something against the wall and seeing if it sticks. And especially in the big picture issues and topics of the sport, you know, he has feelings about it, and oftentimes it's about trying to do what's best for college football.
So with you covering the SEC in Alabama for so many years and knowing that conference the way you know it, what was the reception for Texas and Oklahoma? And in your opinion, in your coverage, is the expansion of that conference done for the time being, or is it just getting started?
Yeah, I mean, I try to keep blinders on and focus on Alabama. And I work for the Alabama website, but it's hard not to deal with the expansion talk. I think that, you know, outside of probably Texas A&M, everybody was pretty excited to get Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC. And I don't think they're finished. I mean, I think we're heading toward those super conferences for sure. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what teams they go after next. Because, you know, Greg Sankey and the SEC, it's all about the dollar. You're looking at the marketing aspects of it. They want to go where they don't have a school in that market. Places probably like in North Carolina. You can look at maybe Virginia, something like that. You know, they have the Florida market with Florida. You could always look at maybe FSU or Miami, I'm sure. I don't know how much, you know, Florida, teams like South Carolina would be excited to see Florida State and Clemson, but those would be, you know, near the top of the list of teams that you would just spitball and try to predict playing in the SEC. But yeah, I don't think they'd be finished at 16. I think a lot of these, you know, whether it's the SEC or the Big Ten, they're probably moving to 20. If not more, and it'll be interesting to see kind of the way that evolves, because these things kind of happen quickly. I mean, look at the USC and UCLA stuff going on with the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. I don't know if Alabama, but if the SEC will look to go out to the West Coast and expand that footprint even further, stretching across the entire country. But I definitely think some of the teams to the north of them, or definitely to the east, you know, they'll look to, and I'm sure that those teams will only add to the value of the SEC, which is significantly higher than all the other conferences.
Best dinner spot in Tuscaloosa? Good place to go grab a meal?
Oh, there's a lot. I think it's open again. Avenue Pub kind of moved and went to a bigger location. They've got one of the best burgers in town. You know, a lot of these places you can grab a cold drink too, because it's going to be hot. There's a couple of breweries and stuff, but yeah, you can't miss. If you're coming to town, there's a lot of barbecue. You know, Archibald's is well known. Dreamland, there's a debate on which is the best, but you can't go wrong with either, really. So yeah, it's, for the most part, most people are going to steer you in the right direction. If you've heard of it, maybe don't go to a chain or something like that. There's plenty of places that are unique to Tuscaloosa that are going to offer you a good meal and a good drink.
No Olive Garden is what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, there is one, but I mean, you know, if you want to feel like family, sure, go ahead, but there's other options.
Is there kind of a unique mom and pop teppanyaki? My guy over here loves a good teppanyaki.
It was next to the hotel. Yeah, I don't want to. We don't need to go down this path again.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
he'll find it. He'll sniff it out and he'll let you know.
Charlie, appreciate your time, man. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Charlie.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks
you
for
got
having
it. Charlie Potter covers Alabama football, basketball for BAM Online 24/7.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.